We will be delaying our wrap-up of the letter to the Philippians, and today we are going to be considering God's rescue mission. When we think about God, it's possible, maybe even easy, to think about God as sort of being inactive, immobile, as though he is sort of just leaning back, reclining, dozing off. But when we read the Bible, we see anything but that. We read about a God who is anything but that, anything but inactive and immobile. But in fact, we read about a God who is actively engaged in a mission. A mission which has a starting point and a progression and a climax and a final destination. And there's many different ways to think about this mission, many ways the Bible explains or summarizes it, many different angles from which to view it. But there's a verse in the Bible that I think gives the clearest summary of what lies at the heart of the mission of God in this world. And that is our main text for this morning. As you might guess, it was our main text from kids camp this week. That is Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And in this verse, in these words of Jesus, we are given, I believe, the clearest summary of what lies at the heart of God's mission in this world. The otherwise seemingly impossible mission that Jesus, the almighty and loving and gracious Son of God, came into this world to accomplish. And at the heart of that mission was that it was a rescue mission. Jesus engaged in a rescue mission to seek, to search for, to find, and to save that which was lost. Because of sin, we were lost. We were lost and separated from God because of our sin. God made us to always know him, to always be with him, to always know him and his love, to always have his love upon us, within us, around us, to be in closest of fellowship with him, to know that love which the psalmist says, his love which is better than life. There are some pretty good things in life, right? Some pretty great blessings in life, some pretty wonderful pleasures in life, some pretty amazing delights in life. There are some pretty great things in life, but the psalmist tells us that if we were to stack up all those great things about life, all those great things life has to offer, all those great things contained within it, the best of it, if we were to stack that up against God's love far surpasses all of it. His love is better than life. But we, having been freely given this love to know and enjoy forever, we, having had this love within us, upon us, around us, we looked around and said, you know, this love that's better than life, maybe there's something better over here. Maybe there's something better underneath this rock. Maybe there's something better around this tree. Maybe there's something over there that is better than God's love, that is better than life. Maybe God's love isn't so great. Maybe, God, I don't need you. Maybe, God, you know what? I think I can live without you and find greater happiness and joy and peace and satisfaction and meaning in life without you. And that is what lies at the heart of sin, is seeking and searching for and trying to find all those things that only God can give us in something else, thinking that life is better than God's love, instead of knowing that God's love is better than life itself. That's what lies at the heart of sin, is forsaking God and going our own way. But in searching for all those things outside of God, in searching for those things away from, apart from God, we wandered away from him, became separated from him because of sin, got lost from him, such that, so lost such that we would never, ever, ever find our way back to him on our own. We would not, we could not. But the good news of the gospel is that the story of the gospel doesn't end there. It doesn't end. The end of the story is not we are lost from God. The story doesn't end with us lost, unwilling, and unable to find our way back to him and to his love. That's it, the end. The story keeps going. The story doesn't end there. God did not see us lost in our sin, wandered away from him, and just sort of shrug his shoulders and say, oh, maybe they'll turn up. No, because of his love, the story continues. Because of his love, he, when we were lost, he searched for us. He himself came to search for us and to find us and to bring us back to himself. And never in all of human history was there ever such a search for anything that was ever lost, because never in all of human history was there never such a love as God's love for the lost, of his own who were lost from him. Because the lengths to which you go to search for something, the energy and enthusiasm and passion and extensiveness and cost you undertake in a search for something reveals the love you have for that thing. I remember when I was a kid, maybe you have a similar memory. It's in a department store, if you can remember back to how department stores had those big racks of clothes and the circular racks, and me and my brother and sister used to go in those racks like a fort and sort of jump out at and chase each other around in them. And I remember one time we were doing that, and all of a sudden I looked around and I didn't know where I was. I didn't know where my brother or sister was. I didn't know where my mom was. I ran, turned a corner, looked around, and I just had no idea where I was or where to go. I was lost. And, you know, maybe you've had a similar experience to that. And if you have, you can sort of put yourself, remember that feeling, and remember your response to that situation. Did you just, if you're in that situation, or my mom in this situation, did she just sort of say, maybe he'll turn up, finish my shopping, head home? No. She called out for me. She looked high or low for me. She searched and searched and would not stop searching until she found me. Why? Because the extent you go to search for something that is lost reveals the depth to which you love that thing. She searched because she loved me. And when we were lost from God, God did not just say, maybe they'll turn up. But God had been planning a rescue mission for you since before the beginning of time. And finally, when the time was right, he himself came. He sent his one and only beloved son into this world to become one of us, to lower himself and condescend from the highest of heights, to live in a fallen world filled with sinners, to experience pain and suffering, to never sin but be sinned against, and to lay aside all his rights and privileges as the one who was eternal and fully God, and to walk the path of humble obedience all the way to death on a cross. That is the search that God engaged himself in because of his love for you and for me. God, in his love, sent his only beloved son as a sacrifice. And the son, in his love, willingly went and laid down his life for his sheep. And never in all of human history was there such a search for anything that was lost. Never was such a distance traveled to such a depth at such a cost. Because never was there such a love for anything lost as God's own love for his own who were lost from him. And never was there such a beautiful and glorious rescue mission as the rescue mission of God that came to seek and to save you and me. Our getting lost, you see, because of sin we were lost, because of his love he searched for us, and because of his grace he saved us. By his grace he saved us. Our getting lost was not just an accidental thing, like a kid getting lost in a department store. Certainly not negligence on God's part or failure on God's part. It was not an innocent accident on our part, but it was a willful rejection of the God who is all good and all glorious and perfect, pure love. It was a willful rejection of God, a turning away from him, a despising of him, a replacing of him, a dishonoring him and sinning against him and his glory. And God didn't come to us and seek after us, find us, and just sort of drop us with some directions as to how to find our way back. He didn't just drop us with some good advice as to how we could get ourselves out of the mess we had gotten in, find ourselves our way back to the path that would lead us back to him. No. He came to save us, to rescue us who could not rescue or save ourselves, who could not find our way or make our way back to him. By his grace, he saved us because there was sin. Because of sin, there was an ocean, a chasm of separation between us and God. And if it was up to us to bridge that chasm, to make up that gap, to cross that, we never would. But God bridged that gap by the cross. By his grace, he saved us. On the cross, Jesus died the death that we deserve to die because of all of our sin, because of our rejection of God. He stood in our place and suffered that penalty that we deserved. And he gives his righteousness to us. He bridged that gap so that now we could be reconciled to him. Now that we could be made right with him, and now we could become his children forever, who once again know the love of God that is better than life. Now we have that love within us, upon us, around us, because we by his grace have been found, and we by his grace have been made children of God forever. And the context of Luke 19:10, maybe you remember, it's the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And just before Jesus gives this summary of the heart of God's mission in this world, he says to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. Because Jesus had sought him out. And earlier, when Jesus had sought him out and singled out Zacchaeus and went to his house, after he searched for him, we read in verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Well, of course he has. That's why he came. He came to seek and to save the lost, but some people sadly never realize they're lost or are never willing to admit it. You know, and it's Father's Day today, right? In honor of dads out there, you know. Maybe it's like when dad's driving and mom says, honey, are we lost? No, we're not lost. You know, some people are just never willing to admit that they're lost. They think they're just fine and on the right track. And the only thing that's worse than being lost is being lost and being unwilling to admit that you're lost. Because it's not until you're willing to admit that you're lost that you can then be found. Other people maybe know that they feel lost. And maybe get to the place where they wonder, how did I get here? But don't know where they got lost from in the first place. And they need to be told. And that's where our mission comes in. Because you see, we knew that we were lost. And we, knowing that we were lost, looked for the grace of Jesus and discovered that it was His grace seeking us, His love seeking us all the while. And we sing of the amazing grace that we have known in our own lives, that once we were lost, but now we have been found. And because we were lost and now found by the mission of God, His rescue mission, His love and grace that saved us, God now calls us to have a role in His mission in this world. Let me give three applications of how we engage in God's mission in this world in kids camp terms, and I'll explain them as we go. First, never forget your true identity. One of the most important things as we live in this world and we seek to be effective as God's agents in God's mission in this world, participants of God's mission in this world, is to never forget who we really truly are. Never forget our true identity, because in this world, the world will tell us many things about who we really are, or who we really should be, or who we really ought to be, or who we really ought to want to be. But with all the world's messages about who we really are, or who we really should be, it hasn't really eased the confusion or provided clarity in the big question of who we really are. But God gives us that clarity. And whatever else is true about us in this life, the most important thing, the most fundamental thing, the thing to hold on to in your mind and heart every day, your truest identity, is that you are a child of God who once was lost and now has been found. Hold on to that, remember that, believe that, especially when it seems like it couldn't be true, especially when you're most tempted to doubt it, especially when the conflicting messages of the world compete with or counter that reality, especially then remember and believe that you are a child of God, loved by Him. You were once lost, and now you have been found. And when we remember that true identity, we at the same time remember the grace and love of God that created that identity, that gave that identity to us. We remember the hopelessness of being lost. We remember the love of being found. We remember the grace of being saved. And that creates in us a desire to see in those around us people who are still lost. And that creates in us the humble and compassionate and loving desire to want to see them come to know the same love and the same grace that we've been given, that we've experienced, and that we enjoy and delight in. We remember our true identity, that we are children of God, once lost, now found. Second, never go dark. And what this means in agent spy terms is cutting off all communication from mission commander. No messages in, no messages out. That's what it means when an agent in the field goes dark. But God, whatever reason an agent in a field on a mission might do that, we as God's agents on His mission never do that. We never go dark. We always keep an open line of communication between us and Him. He speaks to us through His Word to encourage us, to remind us, to strengthen us, to guide us as we serve Him. And we speak to Him through prayer, because when we on our mission encounter hardships and trials and struggles and needs in this life and in this mission He has given us, we bring those to Him through prayer to find His continuous supply of strength and encouragement and help and guidance and provision. And to the degree that we don't keep an open line of communication between us and God is to the degree to which we drift away from His objectives and His methods in the mission He calls us to. That's the degree to which we risk drifting away. And because God's heart is full of compassion and love for the lost, and that's what God wants our hearts to be filled with, love and compassion for the lost. And prayer, an open line of communication between us and God, is what keeps our hearts aligned with His heart. It's what keeps our hearts filled with the love and compassion that His heart is filled with, so that we stay engaged in our mission and do it in the method that God calls us to, with all the love and humble compassion that it requires. Never go dark. Always keep an open line of communication. And finally, never go undercover. When we think of missions in this world or agents, we often think of undercover agents on top secret missions, in which the goal is for the mission to be known about by as few people as possible and the agent to be seen and discovered by as few people as possible. The goal is to not stand out. The goal is to blend in, to be undetected, to be unnoticed, almost as if they were invisible, as if they weren't even there. But here is the crucial difference. God's mission is not a secret mission, and God's agents are not secret agents. God does not employ any undercover agents in His mission. God wants as many people as possible to know about His rescue mission for this world, and God wants His agents not to blend in, not to be undetected, unnoticed, almost as if they were invisible, just sort of camouflaged into the world in which they are engaged and living. He wants His people, His children, His agents to stand out, to be detected, to live lives that are so different and unique and Christ-like that others would see and notice. And in fact, He tells us that He wants our lives to be like lights shining in the darkness. And if you've ever been out in the darkness, you know how a light, even a faraway light, can bring light and illumination into that darkness. Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the Sermon on the Mount, where you could summarize, I think, the entire Sermon on the Mount in two words: be different. Be different. Jesus says this: in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And He explains prior to that that you don't light a light to hide it. You know, you don't light a light and then immediately proceed to cover it up so that it can't be seen, because that defeats the purpose of lighting the light in the first place. The whole purpose of lighting a light is so that it will light things up, so that it will illumine the darkness, so that it will stand out different from the darkness which surrounds it and shine light into that dark world. And when we were lost and found by God, God, by His love and grace, lit a light in us, the light of Christ in us, a light in which the love of God which we have received then shines out from us into the dark world around us. And He wants us to do that in two ways. He wants us to show the world His love. He wants us to tell the world about His love. He wants us to show the world His love. God wants our hearts, our lives, to be so full of His love that people look at us and that's what they see. They see the love of Jesus reflected in from us. He wants people to look at our lives and get a little glimpse of what the love of God looks like, just a little one, and be directed to the source of that love that's for them. Because if we only tell people but don't show people God's love, or worse, if we show something that conflicts with what we tell them about that love, then that message we tell to them rings a little hollow, doesn't it? He wants us to show the world's God's love. But on the other hand, if we only show the world's God's love but don't tell the world the source of that love, the nature of that love, where and how that love can be found, we run the risk that love can be miscredited. That people might see that love in us but come to the unaided wrong conclusion that, oh, you're just such a good person. Or, Yeah, random acts of kindness really are the source of redemption for this world, aren't they? We run the risk of that love that is seen being miscredited. But Jesus, in this verse, tells us that when the world sees the light shining in us, they praise God. And so we need to tell them that He is the source of that love. So that when people look at our lives and see God's love and wonder, where did that love come from? They will not come to that deadly wrong conclusion, but that we will tell them that the reason we love is because Christ first loved us. And we tell them that God loves them. We tell them that God loved them so much that He sent His Son to seek and save that which was lost. Never go undercover. Never forget your true identity. Never go dark. Never go undercover. But show the world God's love and tell the world about God's love. That is how we can join with God in His rescue mission for this world. So you've been brought up to speed on the agent training that occurred this week. And now you might wonder, like many of our agents in training this week, well, am I now ready to go on God's mission, to join Him in His mission? And the answer, of course, is no. You're not ready. But God still calls you to go. No one is ever ready. Not the best trained, most experienced Christian, not even them, is ever ready. But don't wait till you're ready, because God is always with us no matter where we go, no matter where we are. He promises us that. Remember the words of Jesus before He ascended into heaven. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We're never ready. But He is with us. And if He is with us, then the mission that God calls us to is possible. And we are reminded of His presence with us in this sacrament. In this sacrament, in fact, we get a beautiful picture, almost a demonstration, almost a reenactment of God's rescue mission, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost, that we were lost, but He entered into this world, took on human flesh, lived a perfect life, and He, as the Son of God, died on the cross for us, laid down His life, gave His body, shed His blood, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could become a child of God, be reconciled to God, and know His love that is better than life forever. Don't you see the wonderful love and grace of God? Let's rejoice in it. Let's remind ourselves of it. Let's be strengthened by it. And let's pray that God would reignite in us a desire to see those around us come to know the same love and grace that we've received. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Jesus, who is always with us. We thank You for Jesus, who came to seek and save us. And we pray that, remembering that, we would stay close to You, that we would know and believe and delight in Your love for us. We pray that though we are often dim lights, that we would nevertheless be lights that shine in the darkness. And we pray that we would desire more and more to show and tell the world of Your great love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.